Sitting in my Texas garden as I approach my 90th birthday, I often reflect upon my life in the United States, enjoying what the nation offers now, but shuddering at the pitfalls that threaten us in the years ahead. Since this report is an evaluation of life in my homeland, I had better begin with justifying why I consider myself qualified to brave making some judgments about America. Foremost is my dedication to the United States. It began in the earliest years of my life. In a Presbyterian Sunday school, I was taught that God had elected our country as his favorite land, and all that our leaders did was in obedience to his loving care. Devoutly, I believed that we were his special charges. Each morning at our public school, which I attended from age 6 to 18, we opened the day with school prayer, the recitation of the Pledge of Allegiance, and, on many mornings, the bellowing of a song that we sang in unison, "O beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain, America, America, God shed his grace on thee, and crowned thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea." Each time I sang these words in my usual off-key voice, I was convinced that a universal brotherhood did exist in my noble homeland. In those days, the indoctrination of children with a love of their homeland began at age 6 and continued daily for the next 12 years. I have often thought back on that simpler time and concluded that it is better for a child to have some strong moral and social beliefs rather than none at all, even though his indoctrination may have been chauvinistic, muddled, or even erroneous. Later, he can correct error, but if he has allegiance to nothing, he has nothing to work on in his later re-education. At an early age, I began to know our country well, for at 14 I hitchhiked north and south, and some years later I probed far to the west. In adult life, I lived for extended periods in scattered states: Pennsylvania, Colorado, Massachusetts, New York, Hawaii, Maryland, Florida, Texas, Maine, and Alaska. I spent shorter 6-month periods in Virginia and Ohio, and I made enlightening visits of some length researching in the American islands of Samoa, Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico, and Guam. From these travels, I acquired an appreciation of the fact that we are a country with unique blessings. Our land territory stretches from ocean to ocean, so we did not have to worry about our neighboring nations, east or west. There were only those north and south, which, by great good fortune, were friendly nations, Canada and Mexico. True, we did have skirmishes with Canada, but we quickly backed off, and we did have far more serious wars with Mexico, from whom we acquired, or perhaps stole would be a better word, an amazingly rich southern tier of states that had belonged to her: Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, California, with extensions reaching into states like Colorado. But in general, our neighbors' amicability allowed us freedom to develop peacefully inside our spacious borders. We owe much to Canada and Mexico. Within our boundaries, we have almost unimaginable riches: agricultural land capable of providing much of the rest of the world with wheat, corn, beef, and other foods. We also have spectacular natural beauty: our vast prairies, our towering mountains, our deep canyons, our vital rivers. We are a land truly blessed, for beneath this beauty lie immense deposits of petroleum and the precious minerals gold and silver.